Now, we thought we'd have something spiritual on the programme today, and it's one of our kitchen series. Our reporter Henrietta Harrison has been to meet Sister Catherine Wyborne, also better known to the Twitterati as the Digital Nun. Now, Sister Catherine lives in a community of Benedictine nuns in Herefordshire.
We live in a converted barn, so we have a delightful farmhouse kitchen, which is very light for a barn, really. We follow the rule of St. Benedict, which was written in the 6th century, and the kind of world that he was talking about is very much the kind of world that we've got today, really. And we see food as being a sacramental. It's something that links us with the Eucharist that we celebrate in church. So it's not to be treated lightly. Well, he urges restraint, and he says that we should be content with what can be had. And yet he is aware that people have individual weaknesses.
We think it's sufficient for the daily dinner, whether at the sixth or the ninth hour, that every table have two cooked dishes on account of individual infirmities, so that he who for some reason cannot eat of the one may make his meal of the other.
Can we look through a few drawers? Because I want
Absolutely.
To see.
Just open
yes.
anything you like.
Can I? Great. Okay. So this is the sharp knives and
vegetable peelers. And I'm particularly fond of our French bean cutter. Can't get that in England. And they produce absolutely beautiful runner beans, just the right thinness. Breakfast at about 5:30 in the morning is either homemade wholemeal bread, which can be toasted, or muesli, which we make up ourselves. Lunch, when we're on our own, is probably something like a homemade soup and perhaps some bread and cheese and a piece of fruit. Then our evening meal is about 6:30, 7 o'clock. This evening, for example, it'll be a vegetable curry made with vegetables from our garden and some charred, wilted chard on the side, and again followed by fresh fruit and possibly one of the homemade biscuits that I made this morning.
Are you mindful of what he said about overindulgence?
I am, particularly, yes. I think in our society, where it would be easy to have anything at any time, even monasteries can be sucked into that feeling that we're deprived if we're not doing the same as everybody else. And I think it's part of our witness, if you like, to show that yes, you can eat well without spending huge sums of money or vast amounts of time. It just means getting your focus right.
Above all things, however, overindulgence must be avoided, and a monk must never be overtaken by indigestion. For there is nothing so opposed to the Christian character as overindulgence, according to our Lord's words. See to it that your heart be not burdened with overindulgence.
This is the fridge. Well, there's not much in there, is there?
Isn't it edifying? Yes. All we have in here are essentially leftovers to be recycled, because we don't waste food here. And usually I find that we can put whatever's left over into a soup.
Can I just have a look? So you've got some Tupperware pots with
beetroot from the garden.
And
potatoes from the garden from yesterday's lunch.
Right. And then some celery down there. So there's potentially a beetroot and celery soup on its
way.
And I see there's two Diet Coke. I wasn't expecting to see Diet Coke in a monastery.
Why not?
I don't know.
Our food is very much arranged around the church's year of feasts and fasts, and so we shall be celebrating with some Diet Coke at lunch.
What happens on a fast day?
Well, it's every Friday from the 14th of September until Lent, and then every day during Lent except for Sundays. Fasting is not a question of eating nothing. The church says one meal and two collations, or as we call them today, two snacks. The whole purpose is to make us more aware of our creatureliness, and the whole idea is really to make more space for God and to be a bit more aware of the blessing of food generally.
Have you heard about one of the most fashionable diets at the moment called the fasting diet?
Yes, I dislike the name because it's not fasting, because it hasn't got a religious or altruistic end in mind. It's about starving yourself in order to have the weight and the figure that you want. I think we could find a better word for it. I think the more people diet, the less they understand the true nature of fasting. Because dieting makes one concerned with oneself. And there can be very good reasons for dieting. One could be overweight or have a heart condition. Fasting is meant to make us look outwards. It's meant to look at other people's needs. It's concerned not with how little we have or how much we have, but how we can be ready to serve other people. And above all, of course, how we can be ready to serve God.
Let the brethren serve one another, and let no one be excused from the kitchen service, except by reason of sickness or occupation in some important work. For this service brings increase of reward and of charity.
You say you have an upcoming feast day,
yes,
where you will eat something that you're not used to or that's a treat. What is that for you?
Well, you've already seen the Diet Coke and the frozen chips. I will have something that wouldn't normally appear, and we'll probably have some meat and vegetables and so forth. We might even have some ice cream for pudding. Things that we wouldn't normally have and which therefore take us out of the routine.
What are some of your favourite dishes?
Well, I'm a great cauliflower cheese woman. But one of our favourite community dishes is a vegetarian goulash, which is essentially onions, potatoes and carrots in a very piquant chili and tomato sauce. But what makes it really lovely are the horseradish flavoured dumplings that go into it.
Oh, they sound delicious.
They are.
Oh, this is a bit naughty, isn't it? Okay. What, I was wondering
naughty?
I was wondering where the chocolate was.
Okay.
And I found
it. Yes, that's the chocolate, yeah.
And here we have a very important item of equipment, a corkscrew.
We read, it is true, that wine is by no means a drink for monastics. But since the monastics of our day cannot be persuaded of this, let us at least agree to drink sparingly and not to satiety, because wine makes even the wise fall away.
So you do drink?
Yes.
But he advises that you don't become drunk, so...
Exactly. It's moderation in all things. I mean, that's his view about food, sleep, drink, anything at all. It's a question of having discipline over ourselves, I suppose, and that's not a very popular word these days.
Do you do anything special for Christmas in terms of food?
Well, not really, because we keep Advent, the 4 weeks before Christmas, as a time of great restraint. So we won't have eaten a mince pie until Christmas Day. We won't have had a Christmas decoration up until late on Christmas Eve. And then when we do celebrate Christmas, it's 12 days of festivities. So we tend to pace them out a little bit. And we find that most people have taken down their Christmas decorations at the very time that we're just beginning our celebrations. So in a way, we are a bit countercultural. But I suppose the only thing that really will be very special is we make white bread for Christmas morning in the form of rolls, and fresh from the oven, that is delicious.
Sister Catherine Wyborn, and our very best wishes and a very happy Christmas to all the nuns, the Benedictine nuns in Herefordshire. And that was Henrietta Harrison with that report.